Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour, Our Father's Word, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and we're going to begin with verse 1 today. Our Father uses symbolism because it is really the best way to teach, to get a point across, even when it comes to prophecy. Many times, as he will use many times horticulture, sometimes he will use the animal world. And if you're familiar with those things, it really lets you know his emotions and how he feels. Today, he's going to talk about making pottery. And it's kind of interesting, and it really gets it said about his children. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, and verse 1 reads, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying..." Now, here you know, this is from Yahweh. This is from Almighty God. Verse 2, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." In other words, I want you to go down there, and what is there I'll use a little symbolism so that you really simplify my message and share it. Verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house," always obeyed, Jeremiah did, "and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." It's important that you notice the word wheels is plural. And there's a great deal in this, in the symbolism. One wheel is Eben, but this is Oben, two wheels. Or you might say two stones, two rocks. And they have to do with the forming of clay, just as God formed these clay bodies. Okay, you got that? Now, in the wheels, you have the false Messiah, or Satan, who is not our rock, or you have Christ, which is our rock. Now, which wheel forms you? That's the question. Okay. In other words, this symbolism would go into, there's something I want you to know, and you with companion Bibles, you're fortunate, because you'll find out there, God never creates anything that is marred. And God doesn't necessarily ever repair anything that is marred by man. He gives you something new. Gives you a new start. Gives you a clean start. He doesn't try to repair what you messed up. It gives you forgiveness. Because why? He can't repair it if it doesn't exist. Okay, you got it? So, having said that, laying a little groundwork there, that we're talking about two stones here, wheels plural, and the work that is wrought upon them. What? Making pottery. Verse 4. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." In other words, he didn't try to repair that marred part. He mushed the clay and he started all over again, where it was a perfect vessel. That's how it is in your life, and that's how when God makes a covenant, and when you accept it, you become new. You become a new creature, basically, spiritually speaking. You're forgiven. You get a fresh start. That's the beauty of our Father's hands as he works on the wheel of wheels. That is to say, forming that perfect way that you can proceed upon, or you can go the other way. And unfortunately, many people do. Having said that, next verse 5, Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, now picture the wheel, picture the pottery being formed, the wheel spinning. Verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Remember, I can form you, I can shape you. Do you understand? Many people say, well, I don't know if he could do that for me. We're talking about a whole nation here. He can form a whole nation if he so chooses. He can correct it. And verse 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. In other words, he has that ability. This is why it's, you know, especially in this end generation of the fig tree, when you see nature itself that is very natural, becoming anxious, and many might say, well, you mean nature itself is aware? Well, haven't you ever read the 8th chapter of Romans? That the creature, which is to say the creation itself, groans for the second advent. The creation itself groans for the return of Christ. Why? Man's wrecking it. Man's destroying it. So God can pull down, put back together, reform, mold on the wheels. But you have kind of the choice of which wheel you intend to have yourself shaped on, Satan's wheel or God's wheel. The rock, their rock, or our rock? Our rock is Christ. Verse 8, if that nation, here's that big word if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. I'll forgive them. I'll change my mind. I'll give them that chance. And our Father is not that. He is so good, so very good. And people will worry, you know. He's your Father. All you have to do is talk to him. Something broke. Let him fix it. Let him help you fix it. Okay? Talk to him. If he can form nations, pull them up, tear them down, put them back together, and you think he can't take care of your problems, he's not going to do it all for you. But you need his assistance and direction to have the Holy Spirit intercede to show you how to get it done, because you need to be a can-do type person. You can cut it. You can do it. With his help, when he's spinning the wheel, it'll turn out right. He said, I'll forgive them. Even though they have done all that evil, I will still forgive them. I won't do that. Next verse, verse 9. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? You know, do you think he isn't in charge? Think about that. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom? What happens? 10. If, there's that big word again, if it do evil in my sight, oh, don't worry, he'll see it, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I can change my mind in a hurry. Repentance may save you from deception for a moment, but you go ahead and change, and you slip and you slide, and see what happens to you. Talk about confusion. Talk about the removing of his wonderful hand from your life, leaving you alone, and I do mean alone. Though you might get company from the other rock, if you so desire, and that is destruction, and that would destroy you. So, repentance will save you, and repentance means to repent of the fake rock and come into the truth and let God know you're available, that you want to serve him, that you want to follow him, that you want to obey his voice. You see, when you open your ears to hear His word, you're already obeying Him. Verse 11. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, or you look here, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now, everyone, that's all the inhabitants, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. You have that right, and you can do that. But you see, did he say he would do this? No, it's up to you. If you will change. Okay. And our Father, he plays it both ways. You want evil? Boy, he can see that you get it. You want trouble? Boy, he can heap it up on you or allow it. Man has a way of heaping it himself. But he wants you to do good. And doing good isn't that you have to spend your whole life searching for things to do that are good. Just behave yourself and let the Father know you love Him. That's basically the main thing He wants from you, is to love Him. And, you know, in reality, when you look at the availability of goodness that He has put before us, just for the taking, the believing, the accepting, then why would you want to do it any other way? That makes you His child. That makes Him happy. Verse 12. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. What it's saying is, we've gone too far to even expect help from God. We're so bad. Now, you know, this is a poor me baby verse. Not too many people can stand poor me babies, okay? Why? Well, it's pitiful. Absolutely pitiful. God didn't put any qualifications on it. Here, they're saying, we've gone too far. We are too bad. He said, change it. I'll erase it. It's gone. Now, do you believe God or not? So don't ever fall into this poor me baby stuff. You know what? You're going to cry all alone, my friend, because no one really enjoys a poor me baby. People enjoy people that when they're hurt, they'll help you get up and all that. But don't be one of these whining wimps that just are so bad and has done so bad that God can't forgive me. He said, I can change nations. I can forgive nations. And you have a problem He can't forgive? You have trouble that you've gone too far? I don't think so. All you have to do is love Him, and He'll love you in return. And He can erase it in a moment. So you get your own plans, that's your devices, that would steer you away from God and go into the way of God. That is your plan, is to walk in the path that He has prepared. And you won't get hurt. Incidentally, what is the path? What is the way? It's Christ. He set the example. But you go in the imagination of your own evil heart, and it will lead you astray. Let God come into your mind, and let your spiritual soul take over your flesh body, and let it give the orders, and you'll do just fine with God's help. Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen. You go out there to people that never heard of me, who have heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. In other words, you go out and ask some heathen person, infidel, that's never heard of God, and say, a father had a daughter, and he set everything up for her, that if she would obey him, if she would be good to him, if she would love him, he would shower her with gifts from heaven all over. Ask heathen person that's never heard of me, in just a natural sense, what they would say was right and wrong with this. And naturally, an infidel, if he knows a daughter has gone against a father that loved her and shared everything with her, just out of her own stubbornness, as Israel did, then even the infidel is going to say, she is wrong. In other words, just nature itself will prove to you that is wrong for you not to love God, who has placed this table of plenty before you. All you have to do is sit down at it and be family, okay? Family always cares, and family always protects. Family always loves. And that way you receive the blessings of God. You know, that kind of God puts it down where the rubber meets the road when he says an infidel could tell you the difference. That really kind of stings in a way. When a person that is learned in God's Word can't tell the difference, and for him to tell you, it is so simple in the natural sense, an infidel could tell you what was right or wrong. Sometimes it's good for you to remember that particular saying, to know that our Heavenly Father does not complicate things, but man complicates things. Man makes life difficult. Okay? So, even the nature itself lets you know when your Father provided everything for you. If you just listened to him and you went bad, you deserve everything you got coming to you, friend. Verse 14. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? This really kind of loses it. Lebanon means those white. The word Lebanon means white, okay? Because of snow, that clear, pure water that is from it, that you would, that God places there in a natural sense. And what it's saying, that you would go out and dig a mud puddle and crawl in it rather than cleansing yourself in that that is natural flowing from God. I can put this a different way to better update it. We have a fountain that is called the living waters, and again, it is that rock that we're supposed to follow from, Christ. You say, instead of letting Christ wash you, you're going out here and digging you a mud puddle like an old hog and wallowing around in it, thinking it's making you clean. You know, I like the way our Father teaches. Anyone can understand that. He said, hey, if a heathen can't tell you what's right or wrong, you look at this. Do you want the clear, pure, natural water of Lebanon that will cleanse? Or do you want to mess around in a mud puddle? Okay? In other words, you go to strange water. You prefer strange instead of family. God doesn't wish that you mess with strange waters or strange religions when you just dig a hole and crawl into it. That's all you do is bury yourself. Come into the living water. That's what God provides for you. Instead of making life difficult. Verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. It looks so religious. We're burning this smoke. We're putting smoke up there. But do you know what the word vanity means? Empty, nothing, void. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. In other words, they follow ways and paths that I haven't built. I didn't even think about it. Didn't enter my mind. And you've got to cloud up your life in such a way that if you simply followed the path that I have cut for you. Do you understand what this means? It keeps you out of trouble. Many men say, well, are you talking about the law? The law is very good. A lot of people think law is bad. No, law will keep you out of trouble. It's man that's bad when he breaks God's law, when he goes against God, when he gets off of God's path and says, I'll just follow man. Man can lead me. And you know what we learned in the last chapter about people that follow man. Thus saith the Lord God, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. They forgot him. Right, they're following man. Well, he claimed he was burning incense. He was a preacher. We loved him. Oh, did you check him out in God's Word? I mean, did you look down when the wheels were turning and seeing which wheel you were formed, the one that was horizontal or the one that was vertical? Okay. God naturally always does it the right way. He forms on that wheel that's on top, and he forms a good work. But do you follow man instead? Well, how do I know? Check him out in God's Word. A layperson can understand the simplicity. This is why God uses symbolism. So that, you know, most people have enough sense to see what a potter's doing. And if you can understand what a potter's doing, you can understand this Word of God. It's that simple. That's the way God teaches. And brings all this up to date whereby you can understand. And so don't go out digging your own pit of salvation in the mud, okay, rooting around in dirt, because that's where you'll end up. Next verse, please. Verse 16. To make their land desolate in a perpetual hissing, everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. Leaving God's Word, that naturally this would take you back to 14, digging your own little place. Look so religious, though. Verse 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back. You need to translate that, my back. I will show them my back, God says. And not the face, not my face. They're not going to see it in the day of their calamity. What is this about? What, don't forget the type. This is preparing people for the approach of the king of Babylon. Okay. And in the prophetic sense, it means the king of Babylon, which is Antichrist of the end days. If you haven't studied God's Word to know that the Antichrist is coming first, hey, do you know what he's saying here? I'm going to hide my back from them. I'm going to hide my face from them. I'm going to turn my back on them. I'm going to hide my face from them. They're on their own. If they chose that other rock, hey, so be it. So you see, again, the choice is yours. Do you choose to follow God's path, His way, His cleansing, living water, or do you want death? That's really what it amounts to, spiritual death. Spiritually deader than a hammer as far as understanding the chronological of or the order of events that consummate the end of this age. How are you doing, friend? I love the simple way that God, through symbolism, brings forth His Word. Verse 18 to continue. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. You know, when you teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, most of the world doesn't like it. Not even the religious community, and that's, I'm not judging, that's just a fact. Do you know what some very prominent pastors have told me? You just teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and it's boring to people. I would hate to claim to be a man of God and say that God's Word, our Father, is boring. I you talk about the judgment of Almighty God coming down on a man's head. That should bring it. Children, when God's Word is taught as it is written by our Father, but that's what they'll do. They say, hey, we can't hardly do what old Jeremiah says. We don't believe this, and the king of Babylon isn't coming. And if they would have listened real good, they could have heard him coming. Okay? It's not going to happen. And so you have people today get some one verse revolving rev, give one verse from God's Word, and then take off on a tangent for an hour. And that's God's Word? I don't think so. That's in the house of God? I don't think so. God's Word. And people dislike someone that teaches the truth unashamedly, never apologizing for the Word of God, calling a spade, and again, never apologizing for God's Word. Verse 19, give heed to me, O Lord. Jeremiah begins to pray here. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. You listen to what they're saying, Father. Verse 20, shall evil be recompensed for good? Question. You know, that's a question a lot of good people ask. It seems like the bad always get ahead. No, they don't. For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. I wanted your word to them. I wanted the wrath turned away. I wanted you to be pleased with them. They want to kill me. They not only want to kill me, they want my soul to go to hell. Let me tell you something. If you ever decide you're going to carry God's word forward, I hope you're not one that listens to polls and checks the wind, which way it's blowing and what. You better teach God's word again and never apologize for it. You better not care what people say. You better care what God says. Do you know why? If you care what God says and if you teach what God says, good people will like you and ignorance will be ignorant still. It doesn't matter. Don't pay any attention to it. You don't need reward from the unlearned. You need the knowledge to know good that the good wheel has spun a vessel that can withstand the storm. Verse 21. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine. What? The famine from hearing God's word. And pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death, spiritual death, okay? And let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. And in Ezekiel 37, remember, well, there's the whole valley of dry bones out there. Who is it? The house of Israel. How do you get life back into them? You preach to them. You give them truth. God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones. What do you see now? Well, I'm beginning to see some life come out there, bone to bone. Prophesy some more. Teach some more. Preach some more. Of what? God's Word. It always gives life. It always corrects men's folly. And unfortunately, there are many spiritually dead today that think they're all right. They don't even know to pray that God would show them the truth if they're not deceived. Hey, the king of Babylon is just over the ridge there, my friend. And he comes before the second advent. You see, he comes at the sixth trump. Christ doesn't return until the seventh. Don't ever let any man tell you different. That is biblically sound. And see that you're not deceived at the sixth trump, because most of the world will be. See that you're not. That's what God is telling you here. Don't be spiritually dead. Listen to your Father. Don't go out here in the ways of men's teaching. You know what men will tell you? You don't need to understand the book of Revelation. You're going to be gone. You're going to let some man tell you you don't need to know what the Lord saith? Then you're in a heap of hurt, friend. You could be had by anybody. If that's your level of thinking, you can be had by anybody. You know that what the Lord says is important. Especially if you were intelligent enough to know that the word revelation means to reveal or to pry open or to let everybody see. and then let some ignoramus tell you it's not to be understood. That is the height of ignorance. Now, I'm not judging anybody. That's a true fact, and I make no apology for it. Verse 22. Let a cry be heard from their houses. When thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. They want to entrap me. And the king of Babylon is just, I can hear him coming. Verse 23. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. You're aware of it. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. And you see, there's a time period given there. When is the time of God's anger? Well, it's when he has seen so much and taken so much that his wrath builds up, his righteous indignation. And when he says, I've had it, and his wrath comes upon earth, that cup is poured out by the Lord Jesus Christ. The cup that Jesus said, Father, is there any way this cup can pass from me? Of having to pour God's wrath out on these people. It's not going to be nice, my friend, but they've got it coming. If you won't study the Word of God, that King of Babylon is coming, and at the time of God's wrath, they will be praying for the mountains to fall on them. Why? Shame. They're good Christian people, they think. And when they find out they've been had by Satan, that they've worshipped Satan, Antichrist, instead of Christ, they're too ashamed to face the real Lord and Savior. Too ashamed. Revelation chapter 9 documents what I'm saying right now. Too ashamed to admit that in their knowledge and all wisdom, they worshiped Satan, thinking it was Jesus. I mean, how far off can you get? How far off can a Christian be that would worship Satan instead of Christ? I would say just about as far off as you can get. 100% wrong. So get into the Word. Get into God's Word. Be protected on that day of His wrath. It's a wonderful thing to look forward to. It's something we Christians look forward to because it destroys that is evil. All right. Hey, don't miss the next lecture. It will continue right on the same subject. All right. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. Spirit moved. You got a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular individual, denomination, religion, preacher, organization. Let's don't judge people. That's not our job. You know something? Our Father is the judge, and boy, is He able. He can cut it. He gets it done. All we have to do is to be able to discern spiritually what it is we're supposed to do, who it is you're supposed to stay away from, and so forth. That'll get it done. All right. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer will, at the end of the hour, will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need the number and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. Do you know something? He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but He created you unique. You're different than anyone else. He created you to love Him. And He created, do you know where it's written? Last verse of chapter 4 of the great book of Revelation. All things He created for His pleasure. Not something to give Him trouble, not something to give Him hurt, not something to disappoint Him. He created you to give Him pleasure. And when you let Him know you love Him, that truly makes His day. He's certainly going to make yours in return. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and we're going to go with Maria from California. Question. Did all of the 12 tribes come through the seed line of Adam, or did they come through the six-day creation? And thank you for your comment. They all came from Adam. Adam, I can't help but say, Et ha Adam, he was created for that purpose. And for by Christ would come through that genealogy. In Isaac, Romans chapter 9, in Isaac is the seed called. Sida from North Carolina, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, I would like to know where to pay tithes when I'm not in church. Wherever you're taught, okay? Wherever you're taught God's Word, that's where you pay tithes. Why? It keeps the tithe coming to you. It keeps the Word coming to you, okay? That's the whole, that's common sense, okay? Charles from North Carolina, does the solar year start on January the 1st? Or January the 6th, how do you keep up with the solar calendar? Well, you keep up with the solar calendar by the sun, okay? That's kind of I'm not saying that sarcastically, but it's neither of those days. The new year starts this month. The new solar year starts this month. It starts March the 20th at 1325 hours, 1325. That's military or maritime time, so that you don't have to deal with AM, PM to get things mixed up. The new year starts March the 20th at 1:25 Eastern time. Okay. I'll say it one more time. It starts March the 20th this year. That's the spring equinox. That's where you count from. The spring equinox is March the 20th at 1325 hours. 1325 hours. That's maritime time, which means 1:25 Eastern time. That and so forth across the country and the world. The spring equinox begins the new year. The civil year begins at the fall equinox, okay? Not to confuse anyone. And how do you keep up with the solar calendar? You count 15 days from March the 20th. I'm sorry, you count 14 days, and the next day is Passover. And then from that day, Passover, you start counting in 50s. And the 50th day, the first session would be Pentecost, okay? And then a group of, to the fourth 50, and then count 14 and so forth, or right before that, and you end up at the Feast of Tabernacles, and so it goes. Wendy from, it by solar. And why? Solar never changes. Never changes. Okay. You start going by the moon, which is Satan's time clock, and it's never accurate. Okay, Wendy from Pennsylvania, I would like to know, how would I figure out biblically when Passover day is according to the Bible? you would go March the 20th, the spring equinox, count 14 days, and the next day, the 15th, it would begin the 14th at sundown, okay? And then you would have the 15th day, which that would be Passover. That's how you figure it. Jane from North Carolina. Okay, I believe. Question. Are all spirits bad? Why was one so mean and hostile and the other one not? Well, there are good spirits, the Holy Spirit, and Satan's little wicked spirits are in the earth. For every negative, there is a positive. Christ is not walking this earth, the Holy Spirit does. Christ shall walk this earth again at the second advent. He will be here both spiritually and physically. Satan himself is being helped by Michael in heaven. That upsets a lot of people, biblical, Revelation 12, 6 and 7. But he's going to be cast out back down to earth physically. And he's going to wander to and fro. Then you're going to see wickedness, wickedness. When does that happen? Sixth trump? That's what happens at the sixth trump. And he's going to deceive most of the world. Because they're going to think he's Jesus. Why? They haven't studied. They haven't to rightly dividing the word to show themselves approved. Okay? So, there you go. Sharon from Texas. I have a granddaughter, she is 13 years old, she had some friends that have ended their life taking drugs. What tape or verses in the Bible can I tell her to read for comfort so she will not think about doing the same thing? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the fact that everything that happens to us happens to everybody, and God will never tempt us with more than we're able to handle. And he will always show us a way out. It's very good for that situation. But also make sure she knows what a sorcerer is. A sorcerer is in the Greek pharmacia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. Do you know what a pharmacist does? He dispenses drugs. Okay. It means people that utilize drugs for their highs rather than the Holy Spirit. And that's what a sorcerer is. And you might mention Revelation chapter 21, all the sorcerers or druggies are done away with. Bam! Just period. There won't be one. So, again, read Revelation 21 and understand the word sorcerer. Take your Strong's Concordance and take the word sorcerer and check it out. Prove me right or wrong that it comes from druggies, from pharmacia, okay, pharmacy, druggies, and you'll be glad you did, and it'll help her a lot. Richard from Canada, my question is, what is the thousand year, what is that thousand years for? When we will be with the Lord, Jesus Christ, before, during, or after the thousand years? I tell you something, I like to see you even before that thousand years is over. Well, Richard from Canada, if, who knows? We'll see what the Father says. The thousand years, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, be not ignorant of the fact that a thousand years is one day with the Lord. It is the Lord's day, and it is what is called commonly the millennium. And Christ returns, and the day he returns, the millennium begins. Satan is locked away, and it's a time of teaching. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5 documents that many of you will be priests with God, with Christ, for that thousand-year period, trying to save those that never had an opportunity to hear the real truth. Let me ask you something. How many churches can you go into today and have God's Word talk to you chapter by chapter and verse by verse where you can finally make it through all of the Word? With understanding to know what consummates the end of this age, but most important, what makes God happy. Okay? How many people really have a chance to learn the truth? And it is the time that God can equal all things, because they will all be in spiritual bodies, nothing handicapped, and they will all have the opportunity to learn the real truth without excuse. Teresa from South Carolina. It seems that everyone thinks that my husband's heart attack was caused for us not going to church or some type of sin in his life or in family's life. They say we need to be in church now. Well, when you listen and study with the chapel, which it's apparent you do, you are in church. Okay? This, our broadcast is simply an extension of the church. All right? And anybody that would tell your husband that his heart attack was caused because he wasn't in a church, they just want you in their building so you will put shekels in their little religious plate passing. Okay, that's why I will never allow, as long as I've taught for over 50 years and there has never been a plate passed in one of my meetings, I won't allow it. So because it's not religious, God didn't send out beggars. Okay, that's what they're trying to do. And so you're in church. A heart attack is caused by one or two or more reasons, and usually it's because we have polluted our food supply and everything else until you can hardly breathe anymore, because we poison ourselves with fumes from. We got to get that old buggy out there and take her around the block, you know, just puffing out poison right and left. And you know what? That stuff will kill you. You know, a lot of people, well, I don't want to go there, but it has killed a lot of people. So, you go to Los Angeles and be sure and kind of seal your eyes off, because if you're not used to it, it'll burn them out of the socket almost. Good old fumes, you know, good old modern times. Backed up on freeways and puffing poison gas for miles and miles. You know, that's what we do to ourselves. That's what causes heart attacks, okay? And stress and these times. Kind of pull off to one side and cool it, okay? He's doing fine. J.D. from Alabama. First, I wish to be baptized, but I consider myself to be a member of Shepherd's Chapel congregation, and I know of no church in my area that teaches as you do, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, which, by the way, is not boring. No, I'm glad you don't find it boring, and I know it's not when it's taught properly. Okay, it's exciting. Okay, I assume. Let's see. I seem to recall you saying anyone can be baptized by anyone. Any Christian can baptize another Christian. Okay. Just take the oil of our people and dedicate them into the Father's kingdom and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Many people will say, oh, you just baptize in the name of Jesus. Well, that's the same thing. Jesus is Yeshua. That is Yahweh, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's no difference. It's just that people are not linguists to the point or proficient enough to know what they're saying. Yeah, but anyone can baptize someone else. Or if you're ever at Passover or sometime, you can be baptized at that time. Taylor from North Carolina, Pastor Murray, thank you for teaching the Word. I'm 10 years old, and I like to watch your program early in the morning with my mom. You're a very good teacher. You've got good taste. All right, son, I appreciate that. I'm glad to have you with us, Taylor. Were the dinosaurs destroyed when the great Catabo happened and Satan was thrown out of heaven? You got that right, okay? This is why we find mammoths in both Russia and up under the tundra in Alaska. And, you know, it is a beautiful thing when a young lad 10 years old understands the Catabo and knows that was Satan's overthrow, because it means you knew there was a first Earth age, an age before this. And it makes a teacher feel real good to know that a 10-year-old doesn't find God's Word boring and has an understanding of God's creation. Good to have you with us, young man, and a fine man you are. Marty from Maryland, I wanted to know how God feels about remarriage. My husband is living and had a child outside of our marriage, so I decided that it was time for me to move on after being separated over 2 years. I know that the Word of God says, until death do you part. Please explain. There are certain reasons that the Bible approved divorce, okay? And I cannot advise one way or the other, because a wise person must know both sides of the event before they can. But I can, as a pastor, tell you this: a person that repents of all of their sins has a clean sheet, a clean life, and they're free to remarry. Okay, I know a lot of people really get upset at me for saying that, but it is a true statement. And if I did not believe that Christ can forgive us, I would stop teaching today. But that is the beauty of Christianity, is forgiveness. He forgives us of our shortfallings. Okay? And sometimes two people get married, they have no business ever getting married. They so clash that they haven't got a prayer of a chance of getting along, hardly. Well, it's better for them to separate, in my mind, because it wasn't a marriage by God, certainly, or it wouldn't be that way, because God never creates or puts together anything that's marred. So rather than one of them kill the other, it's better that they separate. Okay. So there are biblical reasons for all things, and God's law allows. God himself is divorced. Jeremiah, remember back in chapter 3, verse 8, he divorced Israel. And he divorced, he said, "I ought to do it to you, Judah. Give her a written bill of divorce." So, you know, anyway, as it goes, we have forgiveness. And God created man and woman to be together, to be a unit. And that's beautiful when it's that way. It certainly is. You enjoy your life, okay, with God's blessings. Jennifer from Wisconsin: "I am so encouraged by your program. Thank you for teaching all of us. You are so welcome. I have a question. Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit?" No, you really you shouldn't, okay? I'm sure that God is not going to frown upon it, because it is his Spirit. But you are to pray to our Father. You pray to your Father. Why? Because he is your Father. This is the way Jesus taught you to pray. Okay? He didn't say, "Pray to me, Jesus Christ." They asked him, "How do we pray?" He said, "This is the way you pray. Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it will be on earth as it is in heaven, because heaven, earth is where heaven will be eternally. Revelation 21 and 22. Okay, so you're not doing anything necessarily wrong, but you need to read Matthew 5 and 6 and kind of do it the way Christ said. I dislike my job greatly, and I want to do something involving the ministry full time, but I worry and wonder if I am called to do that. Well, you just keep studying, and God will always show you, okay? He will always lead you. Frank from Tennessee. I'm reading his note. Okay, now we have all God's creation, the angels. Are they given the opportunity to be born again, come through the water into the flesh age? This word, that born from above, they have the opportunity to be born from above. That's you and myself and all people. Okay? Into this flesh age, one third passes, or the remaining two thirds are not. Now don't confuse what happened in the first earth age as to who is all are born, except the archangels and the fallen angels. All are born from above. Okay, even God himself, when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, was born of the water from above, okay? But it is true that one-third of God's children in the first earth age followed Satan. But that was all kind of abolished, and the opportunity was given through the Son, as we are born from above, to love our Father. so that he doesn't have to destroy us in the lake of fire. If people knew how much it hurts him to have to kill some of his own children in the lake of fire, I mean, emotionally, they would act considerably different, I mean, he thinks, okay? So that's all people, I feel, are born into their just rights, but they all have an opportunity to work up, resurrected, to a higher level of thinking and living. Mary from Indiana, can you please give me an example of a statute that is still in effect today? And could you give me an example of a statute that is no longer in effect today? Well, let's word it ordinance, okay? And law, and I'm going to mix them up just a little bit for us to simplify this. Blood ritual. You are to sacrifice the first of your flock to Almighty God in a blood sacrifice. But then in Hebrews chapter 10, we find that was done away with. All the ordinances and statutes concerning blood is finished, over, okay, as far as sacrifice is concerned. But then a law, thou shalt do no murder, of the commandments is still very much in effect. God hates murderers. He truly does. That is somebody that commits a criminal homicide, that lies in wait and takes a life, okay? That gives you that example. And I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? That was 1 minute, wasn't it? I'm out of time, and I love you all a bunch because you enjoy studying our Father's Word, but most of all, He loves you for it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. You know what? He will always bless you. Most important, really important in your life, this, that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's still going to be a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1st and 2nd Peter, that are absolutely fascinating. That great old fisherman.